When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Oh, you know it's a good day when we got a mock draft, and we got another mock from Mel. Love it. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80 as well. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Good morning, Christopher Kellerman Canty.
Good morning, big fella.
I think Max is still bleeding from where you got him.
Yeah, I cut him deep that time. Oh, man. I mean, listen, I wasn't even looking for it. Of course, we always talk about his dusty Air Force Ones. I don't know why the guy can't get a clean pair of white Air Force Ones to wear to save for his life. But this morning, he decided to get up and wear a sweater, really nice knit sweater, but it had holes in the armpits of the sweater.
Oh, my God.
And he was unaware of
even
it.
Even I'm so, like,
so while we're
on,
doing
Max.
The show, he's leaning back with his arms behind his head. He's Cadillacing, right? And I'm just like, you don't feel that breeze coming into your armpits, dog? You don't, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's not a design element of the sweater.
I don't think
Max,
it is.
Max, you make too much money to have all of them holes in your sweater, bro.
You know what? I'll tell you what, the second you walk into a room these days with him, he's going to start putting his fists up to cover his face to make sure he's okay.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing.
In Max terms,
and it's
a
nice sweater. It's a cashmere wool sweater that he's wearing. Like, listen, I'm not rich shaming anybody. Like, I'm not, he could come in with a hoodie, a sweatshirt, and be cool. But he decided to wear a cashmere sweater. So when you go that route, it's got to be on point. Yeah. You can't have a cashmere sweater on that got holes in it, dog.
No.
That's just
not
going to work.
No. Not even I would try to pull that.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely
we are,
not.
As I said, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's just roll.
Here we go! Go!
Only one place to start.
Bryce Young has a chance to be a superstar.
Manufactured weight to get to 204, but what are you going to be in November of 2023 when you're playing in the NFL?
I'm confident in myself. I know what I can do.
I think he's a smaller version of Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, the mock draft from Mel Kiper Jr., the latest, has dropped on ESPN.com, and that is our one place to start, brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Mel's got four quarterbacks in the top five in this draft. He's got a trade of the Indianapolis Colts moving up to the third spot, something we've talked about an awful lot with teams wanting to move up to three. But the surprising aspect of it for me, Christopher Canty, is that he has the Colts trading up to three to take Will Levis. I have to tell you, I know that we have four quarterbacks that could go, as Mel says, in the top five, most assuredly in the top 10. That one's a stretch for me because I don't believe the Colts are going to go in that direction. And I think out of these quarterbacks, from everything I have seen and getting ready to host the draft on ESPN Radio as we are on April 27th and 28th, everything I have seen points to me that there are two good quarterbacks in these four, and it's Bryce Young and it's C.J. Stroud, who Mel has going number one.
Yeah, we never see all of the quarterbacks taken at the top of the draft when you have a class where you have four or five quarterbacks in the first round. You never see all of those guys pan out. A lot of it has to do with fit. A lot of it has to do with scheme and the coaches that are responsible for developing those players. But they never all pan out and realize their full potential. And so you're looking at the places that these guys are going to go, and you're saying, can Indy develop Will Levis and get the most out of him? That's a question that remains to be seen. Now, I do have a lot of confidence in Shane Steichen, their new head coach. Remember, he was the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. But as far as the organization goes, this is a move that they have to make. Everybody in the NFL knows that number three pick is up for grabs. And if you're Indy, a quarterback-starved franchise, you have to make the move to get up so you can have your pick of the two quarterbacks that will be left on the board after the Carolina Panthers and the Houston Texans make their selection. So I get what you're saying. You might be on the fence about Levis. Maybe you don't trust him. Maybe you didn't like what you saw from him at Kentucky. But big fella, need is need.
Yeah.
And so you're going to see teams reach because it's such a quarterback-centric game in today's NFL.
I understand that, Chris, but we have looked at the last 15 years in particular and seen that the quarterback hit rate at the top of the draft has dropped pretty precipitously.
Yeah.
We're talking about 30-35% hit rate on first-round quarterbacks since 2010. Now,
yeah, you never really get more than two quarterbacks.
But to me, there's
no matter how many get drafted in the first round, you never get more than two. Think about the 2018 draft class. We saw five quarterbacks get taken in the first round. It was Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, and Lamar Jackson. Only two of those guys hit. That would be Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
I would argue that to me, it's never been more obvious in a group as to which guys were going to hit. And it's Stroud and it's Bryce Young.
Mm.
Because when I look at the other two guys, I know that we get into measurables and I know that we get into what we see at the combine and all those kinds of things and how well Anthony Richardson threw the football at the combine and how athletic he is. And the same thing with Levis, a guy that guys look at, well, he's got an absolute cannon for an arm. All of that's great. At what point do we start to focus back on what the production was? Mm. And when you talk about Levis and you talk about Richardson in particular, you talk about a lack of accuracy last season. And with Levis, Chris, the last 2 years, 23 interceptions. I mean, at what point does that stuff start to count? And if I'm, for instance, the Indianapolis Colts, and I can't get one of those two top guys, I know it's a need. Am I really talking myself into somebody at that point to where the development and I'm going to look at a guy and say I can save him when maybe you can't necessarily do that?
Well,
it sets teams back further.
Well, let me say this. As it pertains to Will Levis, he's at Kentucky. Not necessarily known to be a football powerhouse or a juggernaut. He's in the SEC, so he's playing against the likes of Georgia, Alabama, LSU, schools like that, programs that are perennially in the conversation for college football playoffs, national championships. He's operating at a talent deficit in terms of the pieces around him when he's going head-to-head against the Bryce Youngs of the world or against, the kid from Georgia.
Jalen Carter?
No, I'm not talking about Jalen Carter. I'm talking about the quarterback, Bennett.
Oh, Stetson Bennett.
Stetson Bennett. He's operating at a deficit when it comes to the supporting cast that those quarterbacks have to work with. So that won't be the case in the National Football League. So a lot of this is projection. What you think he will be based on prototypes, based on the tangibles. So that's size, that's arm talent, that's athleticism, all of those pocket awareness. Those are all of the things that you're judging him on. And based on what you're seeing from the tape, Will Levis has that. And so you'd like to think that if you have competent coaching and the right complementary pieces around Will Levis, that he's going to develop into a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, listen, I get that. But when we talk about the talent deficit, we also talk about quarterbacks being force multipliers. And you can be at Kentucky and not have as much talent as everybody else, but they haven't been bad. They haven't been a perennial loser, and he's not playing. It's even like North Dakota State. We've seen guys come out of there and be okay.
Sure.
Wentz, first couple of years of his career, we don't know what Trey Lance is yet. My point is
simply but who is North Dakota State played against?
No,
that's the other thing.
I understand that, but that doesn't mean everything to me. What does mean something to me is that he is good enough where he's positioning his team to be better, but I don't worry about talent deficits when he's going up against the SEC every week, you know, because he's going to be doing that in the NFL.
Yeah, but he's going to have other NFL players helping him. He's going to have NFL caliber wide receivers. He's going to have NFL caliber offensive linemen. He didn't have that at Kentucky. That matters. So, I mean, you know, there's only so far that coaching is going to be able to overcome those obstacles in college. And so I think that's the thing. That's the thing that we're looking at with Levis. I get it. It's more of a projection than Bryce Young, than CJ Stroud, because you're seeing those guys do it with NFL level talent and you're seeing those guys play for national titles.
Well,
I understand
that. Okay, but for instance, was it like Wandale Robinson, Kentucky?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a guy that he had 2 years ago that caught 100 passes. So there are guys.
He had one guy. One guy.
I don't think it's just
one guy. You're pointing out one guy. Think about all of the guys that Bryce Young has had. Think about all of the guys that CJ Stroud has had.
Oh, I agree.
It's not a comparison.
I completely agree with that because we can easily look at Dwayne Haskins and a ridiculous amount of numbers that he put up at Ohio State in his 1 year as a starter and point to that and say, well, that had a lot to do with
who was the offensive rookie of the year this past year in the NFL?
Yeah.
Who was it? What was his name? From the Jets.
Garrett Wilson.
Where did he go to school?
He went to Ohio State.
Okay, who was throwing him passes last year?
I understand.
Okay, all right.
I understand, but I also watched Stroud in a game against Georgia where he has to go and make plays on his own, where he has to go run 25 yards on two different plays down the stretch of those games to just put him in, and he put him in position to tie the game.
And who was he throwing the ball to? Marvin Harrison Jr., who's going to be a top 10 pick.
He was hurt in that game, in the second half of that game.
But he had over 100 yards receiving at that point when he got hurt. Yes. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about late in the game. He wasn't there.
I get it. All I'm simply saying is he's got guys that are not just NFL caliber players, but guys that we're going to look at as difference makers in the NFL. Will Levis did not have that at Kentucky.
All right, let me put it another way. If I'm asking you right now, if we can agree on the idea that there's only going to be two guys that come out of this, out of these four,
At most, yeah. Because, I mean, you look at the last decade of the NFL drafts. When you have drafts that have three, four, five quarterbacks that go in the first round, only two of them hit.
Mm-hmm.
You're only talking about two at most.
Okay. Hit. So here's my question. Who are you betting on?
CJ Stroud is one of them.
Yep.
The other three are a crapshoot. I love Bryce Young, but he's small. Will Levis is a projection. Anthony Richardson is a projection. Now, that's a guy from Florida, and Anthony Richardson, that hasn't had the same offensive system since high school. So, I mean, there's some built-in excuses for him as well as to why we didn't see him put up bigger numbers at Florida last year. So I don't know. And I think that's where your scouts, your talent evaluators, and your coaching staff have to all huddle up and see which guy is the best fit for your program and which guy that you think you can get to realize their potential.
Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers. Apply online today. There are many, many other things to look at in Mel's latest mock draft up on ESPN.com right now. And the great Mel Kiper is going to join us in just 5 minutes. You're going to want to be here for that when he explains not just some fascinating options for the Jets, for the Giants, for a few other teams in the top 15, but also why one player in particular is not falling as quite as far as we would have anticipated. It's all on the way. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Greeny, the podcast. The 2023 NFL Draft.
So you ready for the draft? Let's get started.
Live from downtown Kansas City, Missouri.
The NFL Draft is officially open.
It
all begins with round one, Thursday, April 27th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
With the first pick.
Canty and I will be hosting it along with Mike Tannenbaum and Ian Fitzsimmons. Looking forward to that in Kansas City, April 27th and 28th here on ESPN Radio. We are in for Greeny today, the great Mel Kiper Jr. in 20 seconds. March is a huge month for basketball. It takes top talent to help these incredible teams get to this level. And if you're hiring, you can find top talent with ZipRecruiter. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. We welcome in Mel right now, ESPN NFL draft analyst. He has got his latest mock draft up on ESPN.com. Mel, Chris Carlin, Chris Canty, we appreciate it as always. We know it's a busy time for you as we ramp up to the draft at the end of next month. So this mock draft in particular, you really like doing it about a month out. Why is that?
Well, I think when you get past the free agency signings, guys, you get the, you know, some of the guys, the initial signings, you know what teams were targeting, you know what they needed. Did they attack it in the draft? Would that take some needs away going into the draft? Would that maybe create some needs that you didn't expect if they lost a player or two? So you react to free agency. The only problem with this is it's before some pro days, so that's important for some of the guys that didn't work out at the combine, but there's never a perfect ideal time for this. I got Mock 4.0 coming out. Actually, that will be coming out April 11th, so a few weeks before the draft, I'll have Mock 4.0, which will give me a chance to incorporate some of the pro days into that. But for right now, I like to get those free agent signings out of the way, and that's why I come out with it when I do.
Mel, early on in the process, a lot of draft evaluators had Bryce Young as the first quarterback taken in this year's draft. In your latest mock, you have C.J. Stroud. Why is he the pick for the Carolina Panthers?
I think, guys, Chris, it's most basically Frank Reich. It's looking at his history. He says, well, you know, that doesn't mean I won't take Bryce Young. But he's an outlier, and we've never had in the history of the NFL draft, the common draft, a quarterback this size, 5'10 and a quarter, 204 pounds. When you put it both together, and that's 204 was manufactured. We don't know if he can maintain that weight through the year. Played at around 180, 185. So with that in mind, I think for Frank Reich, C.J. Stroud fits kind of the physical profile of size. You know, the arm strength isn't elite, but it's certainly good enough, and he's super accurate. He doesn't throw interceptions. Last 2 years, he's at 70%. His touchdown interception ratio is remarkable. He just doesn't throw. Look, Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't throw interceptions. So C.J. Stroud, for that reason, for what Frank Reich has had and what I think he wants in a quarterback, that's why he's number one for me right now.
Mel, does the 5'10 and a half bother you less than the 204 does?
I think that the 5'10 and a quarter, Chris, doesn't bother. It's the weight. It's the physical stature. He's not thick like Kyler Murray. He doesn't have that frame to necessarily hold that weight or carry. Keep in mind, Kyler was 207, 210 coming out. That was legit weight. He maintained that. This was a manufactured 204. And when you say, okay, what will you be from September until January in the NFL, that long NFL season, and you're going to get guys like Chris Canty getting after you, can you hold up physically? That's what we worry about Miami now with Tua. Can Tua hold up? So when you get a quarterback like Bryce Young is going to be that worry. And of course, even this past year, he had the shoulder. He only played 2 years in Alabama. He was injured this past year with his shoulder. So when you're that size and you're an outlier, we've never had this in the history of the draft in the first round, let alone the first or second pick. The teams I talk to say it has to be a worry. You can say it isn't. If you say it isn't a worry, you're crazy.
Talking with ESPN NFL draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr. on Greeny Mock Draft 3.0 for Mel Kiper up on ESPN.com. And Mel, I'm sitting here looking at the third overall pick, and right now it's currently held by the Arizona Cardinals. You have the Indianapolis Colts trading up from 4 to 3. Now, we do know, based on reports, that the Las Vegas Raiders were trying to trade up to the number one overall pick with the Chicago Bears. Why did you see the Colts trading up at 3 as opposed to the Las Vegas Raiders?
Well, I think when you look at the Colts and you say, okay, they can go, Arizona can drop one spot, Chris. If they drop down to 7, they lose Will Anderson Jr. and probably Jalen Carter. So they'll lose the top two defensive linemen in this draft. Now, there's other guys out there that are pretty good, but there's none like these two at the top. So in Arizona needs an edge guy. They could use an interior guy. So they could use a corner as well. So if they feel like the corner, they can get one of them, then they could possibly do that. It would be Devon Witherspoon from Illinois or Christian Gonzalez from Oregon. I think one of those two, you know, could be off the board. Maybe both are still there. So if they're thinking corner guys, they could could make that move. If they're thinking Will Anderson Jr., they're not going to make that move. So that basically determines what happens there. Arizona, how far do they want to drop? One spot or drop down to seven? And if Indianapolis wants to guarantee an elite quarterback and not wait till four, they got to move up that one spot to get them.
Mel Kiper Jr., of course, ESPN draft analyst. His latest mock draft is up on ESPN.com. Mel, Chris and I were talking during the break, a little bit on air too, about the fact when you look at the last 10 to 12 drafts, there's really only two quarterbacks at best when you have, three and four that are first-round picks that end up panning out. Are there specific reasons for that being the case, or is it just on a case-by-case basis?
It's really hard. The quarterbacks, when you look at them and you try to figure it all out, sometimes it's where do they go? Are they in the right? So look at Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, went to the perfect team, the 49ers. But in terms of the first round, I remember when Josh Rosen was in the draft with Josh Allen and Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. Everybody, he's the most NFL-ready quarterback. What happened there? Didn't work out too good. Josh Allen, everybody had, were skeptics and doubters, and he's turned out to be the best by miles of that group. Lamar Jackson, people were thinking, is he a wide receiver quarterback? He goes 32. He's been better by miles. Some of those quarterbacks. And you think about Justin Fields, how he was pushed down. He's been much better than some of the quarterbacks went ahead of him. Justin Herbert's been better than Tua, who went ahead of him. Josh Allen, as I said, has been a lot better than Baker Mayfield, 10,000 times better than Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. So, again, the quarterback that is overlooked sometimes ends up being the better guy. And sometimes in this draft, we'll see which one of these guys falls just a bit. That remains to be seen, but sometimes if you wait patiently, sometimes it's panned out pretty good for these teams.
Mel, staying with the quarterbacks, you have Anthony Richardson from Florida going fifth to the Seattle Seahawks. What makes Anthony Richardson the right fit for Seattle, and what makes Seattle the best place for Richardson in terms of realizing his potential?
I think we just hit it. Both spots, Chris. Both spots are it's perfect for Anthony Richardson. It's perfect for Seattle, in my opinion, because of Seattle having Geno. Geno Smith had a career year. His contract can get out of, and we'll see if he can string together two, three great years. We don't know that. But you have kind of the win-win with Anthony Richardson. You can develop him. He's not ready. He had just 1 year at Florida. He did not have a great year. He had some great flashes. The Utah game, the first game, looked like he's going to be the number one pick. Guaranteed, he couldn't maintain that. Next week, he's at 40% with a couple picks against Kentucky, and he had some games where his accuracy was not good. So I think when you look at Anthony Richardson, the howitzer for an arm, the incredible running ability, he just needs to be fine-tuned, like Josh Allen needed to be coming out. So if he can go to Josh Allen's guys, get that type of tutelage, then Seattle could have a great, great quarterback that could be the heir apparent to Geno Smith, or Geno could be the bridge to get to that great quarterback. If he doesn't pan out, you still have Geno there. So I think you got to swing for the fences at quarterback, guys. It was like when they had Joe Flacco in Baltimore, they drafted Lamar Jackson. You had Alex Smith in Kansas City, you drafted Patrick Mahomes. So that type of thing, I think, would be the feeling in Seattle for me going into the draft.
Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN draft analyst with us, Canty and Carlin, in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. Mel, with the Lions at six, you have them looking into Jalen Carter at that point. With Carter, how are teams viewing him right now after the 9 pounds heavier at pro day, all that stuff overall?
I don't think the pro day, Chris, matters. I think it football, what he did on the football field, and certainly the off-the-field concern, the character concern, that's something teams are going to have to do their due diligence on. I know he's the best player in this draft on football ability. Detroit could use him, obviously, in that interior. That would be a great complementary piece inside that would Aiden Hutchinson brought them on the outside, on the edge. Certainly every team from 5 where Seattle is down to 10 where Philadelphia is could use a Jalen Carter. I've talked to teams. They don't think he's going to fall far, if at all. So I put him right where I think he'll go, which is in, like I say, in that 5 to 10 area. And Seattle and Detroit, the Raiders, all those teams could be certainly looking at a Jalen Carter. Obviously, the quarterback situation for Seattle or the Raiders could get them out of that equation. But then you have other teams, like I say, like Detroit, like Philadelphia at 10, Chicago at 9. Those teams could certainly be looking at a potentially great defensive tackle like Jalen Carter.
Mel, last week Aaron Rodgers came out and said he wants to play for the New York Jets. They have the number 13 overall pick as it stands right now. We'll see what happens, whether they move the pick before the draft. But assuming the Jets do keep number 13, what's the best fit for them, knowing that they're going to get Aaron Rodgers there?
I think it's Broderick Jones, Chris. I think you look at the offensive tackle from Georgia, Anton Harrison from Oklahoma would be in that mix, Paris Johnson Jr., Ohio State. If he were there, I had him going a little bit earlier to the Chicago Bears, who need a right tackle. He played left tackle, played right guard. He'd be a right tackle with the Bears. But for Broderick Jones, he's got the incredible, you know, physical and athletic ability. At 6'5 and a half, 311 pounds with long arms, ran 4.98, played well at left tackle, needs a little bit of work from an offensive line coach. And an offensive line coach look at him and say, hey, I can make him an elite left tackle or right tackle. And for the Jets, that versatility, that athleticism, I think would be very intriguing at 13. That's why I think that pick, to maintain that pick and not give it to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers, a part of that trade, is very important, which could be the reason this trade has been held up just a bit.
Mel, you've got Jordan Addison from USC and formerly Pitt going to the Giants at 25. How does he fit with Daniel Jones on their offense?
He'd give them another big-time weapon, and they, of course, they added Waller in free agency. They have some developing young receivers, but I think when you look at what Jordan Addison can do, both he did it at Pitt with Kenny Pickett. He did it at USC with Caleb Williams. He can play in the slot, outside. He gives you versatility there. Very good hands, very good ability after the catch. He's smooth. He didn't test great at the combine, but I think he's going to be, he could be the second receiver taken. He could be the fourth receiver taken. I think Jackson Smith and Jigbo, Ohio State, I have being the first receiver off the board. Like I say, you could factor him in second, third, or fourth. There's mixed opinion with all those receivers. Even Jackson Smith and Jigbo, who should be running, I think, this week. So, and had a good combine in terms of the agility drills and catching the football. So I think if they get Jordan Addison, you get an NFL-ready receiver who's done it, who's really put up big numbers at two different programs.
Mel, who's your favorite prospect that you're projecting to go in the first round that people at home might not know?
It's Adetamiwa Adebare, Chris.
Northwestern.
I mean, you'll gotta love the kid.
Yeah.
He's 6'2", 282 with long arms. He ran a 4.49. Chris, you've been around a lot of defensive linemen. I don't know many 285-pounders that can run 4.49. And at a 1.6, 1.10, did 27 reps, had a 37.5 vertical and a 10.5 broad. And you say, okay, what kind of player is he? Well, he had 27 of his 38 tackles this year were solos. He's had 17.5 tackles for loss over the last 2 years, 9.5 sacks and 4 forced fumbles. And when I watched him on tape, active with his hands, that low base. I loved his speed. He showed that speed in lateral pursuit when he was chasing. He's scheme versatile. I put him down the line. I put him to Dallas at 26. I thought about him at 10 to Philadelphia. I thought about him at 18 to Detroit. Once I gave them Carter, I moved him out of there. So I think he could go 10 to 26 in that area, and he is definitely on the rise.
Mel, before we let you go, separate fact from fiction here. You and I have had this discussion before, and I've been told it's a little bit overblown on the whole pumpkin pie thing. Are you still doing it every day, or was that just kind of an old wives' tale, a myth?
Kind of both. I don't eat it every day. I can't, because the store that where you get the pumpkin pies from that I prefer doesn't have them all the time. They either sell out or they're not making them every day. During the summer months, they go more to other things other than pumpkin pie. They seem to think maybe it's a Thanksgiving, Christmas, winter thing, maybe. I don't know, holiday thing. I don't know. But no, I don't eat pumpkin pie every morning. That is a myth. That's not a fact. The fact is that I do eat pumpkin pie whenever possible. So if it was possible, guys, to eat it every day, I would, but unfortunately, that's not possible.
Outstanding, Mel. I've never related to somebody more in my life. Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN draft analyst. Thanks, Mel. Appreciate it.
You got to take care, guys. Enjoy the man.
AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service. The AutoZone Fix Finder service not only identifies the check engine light code, but it also helps identify the most likely cause of the check engine light being on. The information provided by the free AutoZone Fix Finder service is verified by data from over 5.5 million ASE certified technicians with over 5,600 locations nationwide. AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
That was a fantastic read, by the way.
Thank you.
Great job.
I do what I can, as clean as could be. My only problem here, it's not even a problem. I'm struck by the one phrase in there, and Mel talking about the quarterbacks. You have to swing for the fences. And to me, that's what it feels like, and I would just be uneasy going up to the plate at number 3, 4, 5 and taking a swing on Will Levis or Anthony Richardson, because it feels like those guys have that more boom or bust aspect to them.
Remember, once upon a time, we were saying the same things about Pat Mahomes out of Texas Tech and how'd that work out for Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. We were. This is not revisionist history. Pat Mahomes was looked at as a project, a guy that needed more time to develop. Now, he had more games under his belt than an Anthony Richardson, but he was still viewed in large part as a guy that needed some fine-tuning, and look how that worked out. Josh Allen, similar thing, coming out of Wyoming. So I get what you're saying. It's uncomfortable to be in that position, but that's why you have to have the right infrastructure in place when you're making those types of picks.
It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. In just moments, last night, 57 from Julius Randle in a Knicks loss. Score 134 points and lose. That's unconscionable to me. But nonetheless, it happened. And, of course, it got us to thinking the all-time great performances at Madison Square Garden. We will discuss, we will have a green list, and we will have your reaction at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, the all-time great performances at Madison Square Garden.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Greeny, the podcast.
Kicks it outside. Randle thought about a three. Now we'll slow it down behind the line, dribbling between the legs. Backs up. He tries another three. Oh, my goodness. He hits another one. We are tied at 101. And what we're seeing tonight from Julius Randle is epic.
It was a tremendous performance for Julius Randle at Madison Square Garden last night. That, of course, on 98.7 ESPN in New York City. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. So that performance got Canty to thinking this morning about the top all-time performances at Madison Square Garden. Now, there's going to be people that are going to be annoyed with us. And the reason is, we don't have hockey in this. I have Harry Styles on the list, but I don't have hockey on the list. No, I don't have Harry Styles on the list, although 15 shows at the Garden is pretty darn impressive. But we are primarily basketball, college and pro, on today's green list.
The list is what determines who matters in this business.
The
Green List.
All right, today, the top five performances at Madison Square Garden.
Number five.
They don't have to be individual performances, and when Syracuse and UConn went six overtimes in 2009.
Wow.
That was a tremendous, game. And here's the thing. You know you've got me. You know it's a great game if it's two teams that I can't stand. I want them both to lose, yet I can't stop watching it because it is that level of epic.
There's no question about it, and it makes you miss some of those traditional rivalries that we used to see in that conference. I mean, going back to the old days of the Big East, you don't have that anymore because of conference realignment and all those different things, but that was one of those moments where I guess it represented the best of what that conference was.
Oh, totally agree. That was as good as could be, and that was in the later stages of it when it, you know, just a year or two before it really, well, 2 or 3 years before it really went away. But that was just an epic, epic night at Madison Square Garden.
Number four.
Steph Curry, 2013.
Oh, 54. I remember 54. This. I remember this.
You know, Canty, I could have even gone, if I'm going to go Steph Curry, when he broke the three-pointer record, what, last year, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Whatever that was. But Curry with 54 at the Garden back in 2013. And why was it especially epic? Well, because it was against the Knicks. And because it was one draft spot away from Steph Curry being
that was
Knick.
The 2009 draft. The Knicks had the 8th pick and Golden State had the 7th pick.
And who did the Knicks end up with?
Jordan Hill of Arizona fame.
Oofa. I believe that was an Isaiah Thomas
But it's hard
special.
To feel bad for the Knicks, though, because they took Frank Ntilikina over Donovan Mitchell once upon a time. That happened, actually.
It
you
did
can
happen.
Thank Phil Jackson
number three.
For that.
Number three, this is one of the great ones that I just remember watching, and Knick fans are going to hate this too. It's Michael Jordan, 55, in his fifth game back.
Oh, he's come back. Yeah, yes. I remember that.
Jordan,
remember
of course, took the 2 years off from playing in the NBA to go play baseball. He came back, and just five games in, put up the old double nickel.
That was in the 45 jersey, right?
It was in the 45 jersey.
So 45 put up 55.
He was unreal that night. And what made that night especially epic is on the game-winning play, Jordan didn't take the shot. They doubled him, as you would expect, and he passed it to a wide-open Bill Wennington for an easy dunk.
Is this the only appearance by Jordan on the list?
It is, believe it or not.
I take offense to it, because how can you put this over the playoff performance that Jordan had against the Knicks the night after he was at Atlantic City?
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. It was pretty impressive. Listen, to try to narrow down great performances at Madison Square Garden.
By Michael Jordan.
Yes. This to me was more about the fact that the dude is just, he has been out of the game and
not playing
2 years and five games back, 10 days in, here's 55.
That's fair.
All right.
Number two.
Everybody calls it the Willis Reed game. I know what it meant to have Willis come out of the tunnel. Wilt was not happy, was obviously peering into the tunnel every 5 seconds in Game 7, 1970, to see if Willis is coming out. He comes out, he puts the first two baskets in, doesn't play again. This is not the Willis game. That was the Clyde Frazier game, not the
Balled
Willis
in
game.
That game.
Clyde had 36 points and 19 assists.
Balled.
In a Game 7 to win a championship in 1970. Willis gets all the love for the attention. That's the Clyde Frazier game.
How much pressure did Willis take off of Clyde Frazier by coming out there and playing in the opening minutes?
It helped.
Yeah.
It helped. It helped immensely. And it certainly got into the heads.
That was a young Clyde Frazier now. Young Clyde Frazier.
And that it certainly got into the heads of the Lakers. There's no doubt about that, especially Wilt.
Number one.
There can only be one number one. It's got to be Reggie Miller. It's got to be Reggie Miller.
There is only one.
It's got to be Reggie Miller.
It is Reggie Miller. 8 points in 9 seconds.
And most also, you got to throw the choke symbol that Reggie Miller did to Spike Lee.
Absolutely.
Oh, I mean, as a kid, this was one of those that was like gut-wrenching for the Knicks. Because you got to remember, the year before, the Knicks had beaten the Indiana Pacers in the conference finals to go to the NBA finals.
Patrick was unbelievable in Game 7.
Exactly. That was a seven-game series. So this one ended up being another seven-game series in the Eastern Conference semis. And it got started off with Reggie Miller with this epic comeback? Because I want to say the Knicks were up 105-99 with 20 seconds.
Correct.
With 20 seconds left.
Yep.
Left. The Knicks missed a pair of free throws in there in that span. Yep. And Reggie Miller took advantage of it.
Yep. Hit a couple free throws and then also hit the two threes.
Oh.
Had the steal in there.
The corner three was just a dagger,
It was
a dagger.
It is not just one of the greatest performance at Madison Square Garden I've ever seen, but it was one of the all-time great performances, period, that we have ever seen. In just moments, my friend, speaking of amazing performances, there was one last night, not from Julius Randle, but from the presumptive MVP. That's next.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.